Emerging from the field of four New Jersey Republican Senate candidates vying for this month's primary election, former Washington policy analyst Jeff Bell will face incumbent Democrat Cory Booker in November. Mr. Bell, welcome to NewsWorks tonight.
Great being with you, Dave.
Jeff, this would be your first elected office, though you're certainly no stranger to politics, even vying for a New Jersey U.S. Senate seat in 1978 and 1982, at which point you moved down to Virginia. So what calls to you 30-plus years on to reestablish residence in Bergen County?
It was really frustration with Washington. Maybe I was in Washington too long, but particularly for the last 4 years, I was trying to get attention on something that I think is holding back the entire American economy, which is the Federal Reserve's zero interest rate policy. And because the Fed has become so powerful in Washington, everybody sees it as the 800-pound gorilla, I couldn't get any other member of Congress or any candidate even to take up this issue. And so I even tried three other people in New Jersey to try to get them to run. But when I realized it was going to go begging, that nobody was going to run and try to change the Fed policy, I decided to come back and do it myself.
And part of your fiscal solution that you propose includes returning to the gold standard. Explain.
Yes. I think that we've gone too long, 43 years, without having anything of value being tied to the dollar. The dollar is just printed by the Federal Reserve, basically, and it isn't attached to anything. They manipulate the value of it. Right now, believe it or not, the Fed's policy is that inflation is too low. So they're actually trying to depreciate the value of the dollar even more than it has been already. And people's wages can't get up, particularly since the zero interest rate policy was inflicted in late 2008. We've been on a treadmill, and that's why there are no new jobs being created in the economy.
Now, that policy was inflicted, to use your term, because we were in the depths of the recession. And by most measures, we are climbing out of it now. With the economic climate improving for many, does that make your message more difficult to sell?
Not really, because although there has been a bit of growth, 0.1% in the last quarter and higher numbers earlier, what is missing is job creation. And not having new jobs being created puts enormous downward pressure on wages. You've got a generation of college graduates whose degree is worth nothing more than wallpaper, and they've borrowed a fortune along with their parents to achieve that degree, work very hard for it. And the reason there's no jobs being created is that when jobs are created, small business does that job. Big business is always looking to cut costs and cut personnel. That's what they do. When small business is healthy, it creates the new jobs. You get somebody starting up a great idea in a garage, like that's how Microsoft and other firms started. And they quickly need to add on people when they start being successful. Right now, with zero interest rates, the people who normally provide a line of credit for small businesses are on the sidelines because they can't make any money in return for the risk. And so small business, even healthy ones, are not able to ramp up that quickly. So that's why you have no net new jobs in the economy.
As a student of history, you must know that history is not on your side in New Jersey. It's been, what, since 1978 that New Jersey residents elected a Republican to the U.S. Senate?
1972 was the last election, and only one New Jersey U.S. senator has been defeated for re-election in the last 72 years. That was Clifford Case, and I'm the person who did it in the 78 primary. So, yes, incumbent senators have been difficult to beat in this state ever since the rise of radio and television advertising, because you have to buy both New York and Philadelphia TV. There's no real New Jersey market of its own. And yet, the senators don't have as high a profile as the governor of New Jersey. The governor of New Jersey is kind of the center of the universe, and the senators have very wide support very often, but only an eighth of an inch deep. And I, if anybody does, I know how to overcome that problem.
Though citing the need for funding for both the New York and Philadelphia market, Cory Booker has a huge war chest advantage at this point.
Yes, he does. And we Republicans have to face the fact that the Democrats have become the party of big money. They're raising more money for House races, Senate races, gubernatorial races. But the way I see a silver lining in that is that for many decades, the Republicans were the party of big campaign money, and yet the Democrats won most of the elections in that era. So you have to be more creative. You have to be innovative in order to get your message out.
You're the author of two books, most recently, The Case for Polarized Politics, Why America Needs Social Conservatism. New Jersey is a very diverse state. And given that, to what extent would this message resonate?
Well, we're going to find out. I'm an unapologetic social conservative, and I think issues that have to do with the family and life are just unavoidable. And even if they start out relatively limited in their popularity, they just have to be defended. And candidates who slip away from them, who say, well, I'm pro-life, but that's not part of this campaign, I don't think help themselves in any way, shape, or form. The last presidential candidate to carry the state in a landslide was Ronald Reagan, who was socially, economically, and foreign policy-oriented conservative. And so I don't think there's any barrier. The big change in New Jersey since I was running in the 70s and 80s is minorities, the growth of minority voters, particularly Hispanics, but also Asians. They're like twice as numerous as they were when I was running before. And yet I don't see any reason why Hispanic and Asian voters who have very good family structure shouldn't be open to a pro-family message. And I just think Republicans have kind of bargained themselves away from competing for Hispanic votes by looking like they don't like any kind of immigrants.
So with that, describe your policy regarding immigration and how that might not be in lockstep with the Republican Party.
We have to be welcoming. We have to find a path to legality for the people who are already here without papers. But even more important than that, we have to have a legal immigration system that makes sense. When people say, get in line in your home country, do it legally, they don't realize that there's not very much of a line that you can get into. If you register with the embassy in the capital of Nicaragua, let's say, you could have a 10 or 15 year wait. We need legal immigration. We need seasonal immigration to pick our crops, and we need immigration for the hotel and restaurant businesses. And we need to have a legal immigration system, even if in some cases they're only guest workers who want to go back to their country.
Jeff, let's get back to that book title again, The Case for Polarized Politics. And we've been so frustrated as a group with gridlock in Washington. Isn't this making a case for more of the same?
Well, I think I'm pretty good at working in a bipartisan way, but there is something good to be said about polarization itself, in that a polarized election means that the choices are clear to the voters. In other words, there's such a big difference, say, between Senator Booker and myself, that people, if they feel strongly on one side of one of the issues where you disagree, they know that they will be getting what they vote for. So there is a virtue in making clear what the differences are. As far as bipartisanship and gridlock, I was defeated by an iconic figure when I was the Republican nominee in 1978. That was Bill Bradley, and he opposed my tax cut, which 3 years later became the Reagan tax cut. But over the years, Bill Bradley got more and more interested as a U.S. senator in tax reform, and I wound up working closely with him. And the final vote, to make a long story short, on a bill to cut the top rate from 50 to 27% in this country was 97-3 on the U.S. Senate floor. And Bill Bradley poured a glass of champagne for himself and myself when that vote had just happened. So that to me is that was a great experience in my life, but it was also, I think, a very good example of how bipartisanship can work.
You mentioned Bill Bradley. Of course, he had a claim above and beyond the realm in politics. Cory Booker doesn't have perhaps that level of claim, but he's a national figure as well. Are you facing a similar handicap fast-forwarding to 2014?
Well, you know, the commentator Michael Barone, after I won the primary a week ago, mentioned that I was the only candidate who'd be running against two different Rhodes Scholars 36 years apart, because Bradley and Booker both had that honor. But I think that Senator Booker is known for new media. He's known for being an urban political figure who achieved some success in becoming mayor of Newark against the organization. All of those things are true, but the one thing I don't think he has going for him is any solution to the economy that has been underperforming. His first maiden speech in the Senate floor he chose was on the subject of extension of unemployment benefits. That is many things. You could say it's compassionate, but it's certainly not about increasing job growth in the economy. And I don't think either he or his mentor, President Obama, have a clue on how to do that. And I do. I have a very specific plan. People can disagree with it, but I think it's a plan that would generate a lot of new jobs and a lot of economic growth that we don't now have.
There are less than 4 months till Election Day. How do you see your campaign moving forward, and will there be opportunity to directly debate Cory Booker?
I think so. I debated Bradley 21 times, not because I wanted to, that I imposed it on him. He didn't have to debate me much at all, but he was very smart about that. He learned a lot of my moves in the 21 debates, particularly the early ones, which weren't televised or, you know, even on radio. And he got better and better as a debater as the campaign wore on. I would recommend to Mr. Booker that he do the same thing, because I think the electorate of New Jersey needs a debate. It needs to have a clear set of choices in this election, because a lot is riding on what policies we adopt next to turn this economy around, and on other issues as well.
You've already stated that voters will have a very clear choice between you and Mr. Booker. You've touched on fiscal policy, immigration, but getting back specifically to social issues, short of going down a checklist, are they what New Jersey in the mainstream is backing, whether it's a position on medical marijuana or same-sex?
I think people
abortion,
on both sides of those issues would acknowledge that these are important issues. They have to do with the future of our society, how we're going to organize ourselves. Some make a case that marijuana is a less harmful drug than other drugs, ones that are either illegal or are presently legal, like alcohol. To me, that's beside the point. To have something become legal, which you could get arrested for in the past, means that there's going to be more of that happening. And marijuana has some very negative effects on the ability to concentrate and summon your mental powers. And I think it's a big mistake to have a policy that makes it more available, especially to the young.
Prior to reentering politics, you served as one of the co-founders of the American Principles Project, a principal of Capital City Partners, president of Lerman, Bell, Mueller, Cannon Incorporated. Those are all pursuits where I presume you felt you were able to make a difference in the conversation in that capacity. Why do you feel you can even better make a difference if you were elected U.S. Senate? And if you don't prevail, would you go back to private life and try to affect change again that way?
I'm very committed to the political process. I always was. It wasn't just my own Senate races, but it was also working for presidential candidates, including Ronald Reagan. And I think that I've tried the other means of influencing people, as, you know, whether by lobbying or policy analysis. I'm convinced that they're not going to look at this issue of the Federal Reserve unless voters make them look at it. And I gave up on all of the elites, all of the people who had already been elected. And it happened to me once before. I helped get the tax cut issue onto the political menu in 78 by running on what became the Reagan tax cut. And it was the voters of New Jersey who made that possible. Even though I lost that election, the Reagan campaign called me and Elliot Kirsten, who's based in Philadelphia, to do all of the ads that Reagan ran in the 1980 primaries and television ads. And I know that going to the voters directly can sometimes have very good and surprising results.
Though when it's an issue like tax cuts, that's something that any voter can understand. This seems more nuanced in terms of economic policy about the Fed Reserve. How do you get that message across?
Let me tell you something. The poorest peasant in Bangladesh knows that gold holds its value. They're clamoring for it in South Asia, as opposed to the paper money that their governments put out and that are constantly losing value. The American people know what gold is. They've been able to take polls on it that indicate that a plurality, even without a description, would be for returning to the gold standard. And they know that games are being played in Washington with the paper money that they have to use for transactions. And I found much more willingness, much more openness to a new system, monetary reform, at the grassroots with voters than I did in talking to people who already have power.
Do you foresee taking a day off between now and November 4th?
I would love to have a day off, but my calendar keeps filling up, Dave.
Mr. Bell, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
My pleasure.
Jeff Bell is representing the Republican Party in election against Cory Booker, the U.S. Senate seat, election November 4th.